Before we get into our study this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to give you a little quiz. Now, the quiz is easy. It's only one question long, and I'll even make it multiple choice, or for some of you, multiple guess, which was what quizzes usually were like for me when I was in school, multiple guess. Here's the question. In accomplishing something of eternal value, who must supply the energy? And here are your three choices. It is 100% of God and nothing of man. That if, and those who hold, by the way, these three choices, all of them are held by those who make professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who hold this position would say that obviously we are temporal, and if we are to do something of eternal value, the energy must be supplied of God, who is eternal. So it has to be all of Him and nothing of us. There are those who say it must be, nope, just the opposite way around. That God has already given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, and therefore it's up to us to do all that we can. And the third option is 50-50, or any combination thereof. It's part us, part Him. I'll make it 50-50 just for the ease of putting some numbers up there, but God is responsible for doing something, we are responsible for doing something, and therefore the work gets done. Now, to show you that these are our attitudes of those who are professing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you'll recognize them in some of these trite little sayings. For example, the first one, let go and let God. That's the idea behind it. It must be everything of God and nothing of you. Just let go, let God do His thing, and it'll get done. Second one, you got to believe in yourself. Now, the atheist says there is no God, so it's not worth it looking for Him. He's not out there. The humanist says you don't need God. Everything that is necessary is found in you. But the believer will say, no, God has deposited within you all that you need to accomplish His will. So just look inside yourself. You'll find the resources there. And the last one, God helps them who help themselves. You do your part, God will add blessing to it and do His part. Which one of the three is correct? Now, I would imagine some of you will say the first one. I doubt too many of you, but maybe one or two of you would say the second one. And a number of you will say the third one. There are a few of you out there that know that I am rascally enough that I have the fourth one, and you are correct. But the question is, what is it? 100% God and 100% man. To borrow and to adapt the line from Mike Huckabee, I don't major in math, I major in Bible exposition. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, there's the balance, there's the 100% on both sides. I can't do anything apart from the empowerment of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm useless. Without Him, I can do nothing. But God has determined not to do anything, which He can do everything all by Himself if He wants to, but He has determined to do nothing apart of through us. I can do human responsibility through Christ, divine provision. And without 100% on both sides, nothing gets done. With that in mind, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll put the quizzes beside us for the moment. And I want you to look at this great balance between human responsibility and divine provision. Last week in our study, as we began chapter 4, we noted that the Apostle Paul gave commandments concerning how we are to live life until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Notice chapter 4, verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." And we were looking at the commandment concerning our love for God and our love for brothers and sisters in Christ as our neighbors. And Oh, I had a whole lot more I wanted to say last week, but because of the length of the service, I cut it short. Maybe I'll go back. No, I won't do that. I was going to go back and finish up what I didn't say last week, but then I'd have to go back next week and finish up what I'm cutting off this week. So we'll just let it go for now. Nonetheless, there were commandments. Verse 11 begins this way, and that is taking me literally back to verse 2. In verses 3 through 10, there was a commandment. Here is the next one of the commandments that he's telling these believers to be obedient to, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Here is the command. I want you to study to be quiet. Interesting phraseology. Unfortunately, as we look at it in the King James Version, we probably don't understand what it's saying to us. Study to be quiet. King James translation is a wonderful, wonderful translation of this verse. The problem is, the language has changed since then, and we don't understand the word study to be quiet the same way as they did back then. The word study in the Greek is philotimesthai. Say that three times fast. Philotimesthai. It's a combination of the verb phileo, which means a warm affection, is generally translated love, and the verb timao, which means to honor. In this case, it's in a passive voice, which means to be honored. Literally, this word has a love of being honored. Consequently, the word came to mean to be ambitious, to pursue something of noble character energetically, in order that you would be honored in doing it. It has the idea of putting your all in effort into it. I want you to ambitiously, energetically, studiously pursue being quiet. See, the word study actually is a very good translation. We just really didn't understand it. I want you to really go after this. I want you to study to be quiet. The word quiet has the idea of being at rest or ceasing from labor. Now, here's an interesting paradox. I want you to exert to the greatest extent of your abilities. I have no mic. It's cut out on me. I have to stand here. Okay. What's that? My battery will run out before we get that thing in. I want you to energetically pursue resting from labor. Use all your efforts to be quiet. Interesting paradox. What are you saying here? To be quiet from what? Not in volume of discussion, but in having needs in life. I want you to energetically work so that you don't have to be running around all over the place to find the things of life that you need. How are you going to do that? Well, he gives us a procedure here in verse 11, and look at it quickly. I want you to study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands. Number one, do your own business. Number two, work with your own hands. Tell me quickly, what do those two things have in common? Two words, your own. I want you to do your own business. I want you to work with your own hands. What do each of those things mean? Let's, first of all, do your own business. Let me give you a little explanation of that. Pursue only the things that are in God's will for you. Here's the problem. We get looking at what other people have. And we say, well, if so-and-so has that, then I should have that. We've got to keep up with the Joneses. And once we catch up with the Joneses, there's the Smiths. And we catch up with the Smiths, and there's the Thompsons. And we catch up with the Thompsons, and now the Joneses have gone ahead of us. And we keep saying, look at what everybody else has. In order to live life, I've got to have those things too. And we're running all over the place. Do you realize that God does not will the same thing for each of us? But we all want the same things. And our society today is telling us that we all have to have the same things. What's one of the things on the political landscape right now that you're hearing over and over and over and over again? In fact, it's the great debate between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. What's the issue? What kind of health care? Universal health care. Not health care. Universal health care. Everybody's gotta have health care. And not only health care, but the same health care. What happens if I don't want health care? Now, you might say, okay, Reiner, you're nuts if you don't, and you'd probably be right. But let me ask you a question. If I was 20 years old and in perfect health, and I said I can better invest those monies in other things that I need, shouldn't I have the right to say I don't want health care? Now, maybe I'm wrong, maybe in doing so, but shouldn't I have the right to do that? And I say, yes, I should be free to pursue what God wants for me if I've determined that's His will for me. But we want what everybody else wants. And what are you saying here? Do your own business. Pursue only the things that are in God's will for you. If I'm pursuing things that are outside His will that maybe He has for somebody else, I'm going to be using my energy, but I'm never going to be quiet. Secondly, pursue those things only in the way of God's will for you. A couple of years ago, I got involved in the hobby of football card collecting. It's a good hobby. My sons at the time were collecting hockey cards, and they were having a lot of fun doing it, trading and selling on eBay every once in a while, but just trading amongst themselves and their friends, and they were having a good time collecting. And I thought, well, that looks like fun, but I'm not interested in collecting hockey cards. I enjoy hockey, but it's not my favorite sport, and yeah, we'll let it go. My father-in-law came to visit one day, and he said to my sons, I have a baseball card here I want to put on eBay. I bought it for $20 or $25. I had it professionally graded for $20, so I have $45 invested in the card, and it came out to a gem mint condition. He said, I want to sell it on eBay. And he said to John, would you put that thing up on there? And he said, I'll give you a percentage, a commission for selling it on eBay for me. They were quite happy. They would have done it for nothing, but they said, if you want to give us something, we won't turn it down. That card sold for over $2,200. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I said, I want to get involved in sports cards. I have been collecting football cards for 4 or 5 years now. And the 4 or 5 years, I have never gotten a card that I have made over $50 on. But you see, I saw this $2,000 profit, and I said, man, that's the way to make money. I'm going to get in this thing, and I'm going to be just like my father-in-law. I'm going to come across these cards, and oh, I'm going to have a great time, and look what I can do for the church. Well, you believe that, I'll tell you another one. It was God's will for my father-in-law to reap the benefit, not me. Now, I've enjoyed football card collecting. I've changed how I've gone about it. But the thing is, God has a way of doing things. And there are absolutes about God's way. There are certain things that in all cases are wrong, and certain cases all things are right. But in between there are some things that are individual to God's will. And to insist upon doing it in a way that others have done it because it's worked for them it worked for them because it was God's will for them. Do your own business, he says. Secondly, work with your own hands. Do not be dependent upon any human person or organization but yourself for your daily bread. We are living in a society today that says government is to be our caretaker, and it's becoming increasingly more so, especially with universal health care. You can't pay your own medical needs. You have to have a health insurance to do that. And I thought about that, what I've paid over the years in health care premiums and what I've received from it. I think I'd be better off without it. Now, as time advances, that's going to change. Because, like Larry, I'm getting older. It's just a good thing I'm not as old as him. But we want government to provide us with this. We want government to provide us with that. We want someone to provide us with this and with that. And the biblical norm is work with your own hands and provide for yourself. Now, there are limitations on that. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul wrote to them, if any man would not work, neither should he eat. But he did not say, if any man cannot work. There can be illnesses and physical limitations and so on and so forth that keep you from working with your own hands. We're not dealing with that here, but where the ability is, provide for yourself. And when the ability ends, then there are other resources. But be responsible for your own things. We've had people come here and saying it's the church's responsibility to provide for the education of my children. I said, wait a minute, where do you find that in Scripture? It's the church's responsibility to do this, 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 and this. No, it's not. It's the government's responsibility to do these things. No, it's not. It's ours first. We're missing out on our responsibility. Secondly, be totally dependent upon God. While we are not to be totally dependent or dependent at all on other people or organizations, we are always to be dependent upon God. Let me share with you a little thought I had this morning as I was preparing this. The greatest work that we can ever do with our hands is when they're interlocked like this. The greatest work that we can ever do with our hands is to get down on our knees and pray. See, back in the Old Testament, when God said he would provide the manna every day for 6 days for the children of Israel, he didn't drop it down into their tents. It came outside the camp. They had to go out and pick it up. They were dependent upon him for its provision, but they were responsible to themselves and no one else to go out and get it. Here's the procedure. Do your own business. Do those things that are in the will of God for you and you alone in a way that God has designed for you and you alone. And work with your own hands. Don't be dependent upon other people, but be totally dependent upon God. What's the Oh, well, I gave you these already. I knew I was going to forget them. What is the consequence of doing that? Look at verse 12. That you might walk honestly to those that are outside. You will have a good testimony to the unsaved folk. Well, you say, how does that affect our testimony? Let me ask you a question. What's the greatest need of an unsaved person? Too easy of a question. Bill, answer it for me. To be saved, obviously. They need to know something. You go up to a person and you ask them, why should God let you into heaven? And that person generally is going to give you one of two responses. Well, I've done this, 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 and this. And therefore, by my good works, I deserve to get into heaven. Wrong. Right? Or the other answer is, I don't know, I guess God will just choose whoever he wants to let in and whoever he doesn't want to let in. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong too. Who gets in? It's not the person who has done all these different things, for the wages of sin is death, and we've all come short of the glory of God, and it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's not going to get us there. But trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ who did those things, and I mean really trusting. I wonder sometimes, these folks who say, well, yeah, I think so. And they call that faith. You see, the testimony of the person who works at providing for themselves as energetically, as enthusiastically, as studiously as possible, but who has complete dependence upon God to provide, is the person who shows that God sent His Son to provide, and it's up to me to receive. And my faith is an energetic, enthusiastic, studious faith that draws Him into my life and His life into me. What a testimony that's winning. You will walk honestly. You will have a good testimony to the unsaved. And then secondly, it says here, you will have lack of nothing. Everything that God has in His will for you, you will have received. Well, what about some of those other things? Tell me, who wants the things outside of God's will? I do. That's another sermon. 100% God. 100% man. I don't major in math. I major in biblical exposition. Do you? Let's pray. Father, teach us today. To studiously, energetically, enthusiastically give ourselves to the things in Your will that are necessary in our lives. Lord, today may we not be trying to keep up with the Joneses, the Smiths, the Thompsons, or anybody else, but may we be found faithful doing that which You have for us, and looking for that which You have for us, and receiving that which You have for us, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, in so doing, may we be found a good testimony to those around us, that they might view our lives and say, there is a person who truly waits upon God for supply and actively goes after it when God supplies it. And may that be a testimony of what Christ did for them on Calvary's cross. Lord, maybe there's one here in this auditorium this morning who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're trying to do all they can and hope God will add. Or they're trying to do all they can and not realizing that there's nothing that they can do. Or they're sitting back and saying, I don't know, maybe God will choose, maybe He won't. When the choice is theirs to either trust the Lord Jesus that what He did on Calvary's cross paid for their sins, or to reject Him. Lord, if there be that one here this morning, may they choose Christ and be saved. Father, may we be found earnestly, energetically, studiously, enthusiastically following You in the days ahead till Jesus Christ returns.
In his name we pray. Amen.